Ali Moore on ABC Radio Melbourne.
Well, have you seen the pictures on social media of the long line of ambulances outside the Northern Hospital? There were 17 apparently queued up waiting to drop off patients last night. There were 13 the night before. The union says that there is ramping happening at other hospitals as well. I wonder if it's affected you, whether you're one of those people who's been sitting in an ambulance waiting to be admitted. Well, what's driving it? Associate Professor Mick Stevenson is the Executive Director of Clinical Operations at Ambulance Victoria. Mick Stevenson, good morning.
Good morning, Ali.
First of all, how common is it? We've seen the pictures at the Northern Hospital. Are they an aberration?
No, it's very common, unfortunately, at the moment, Ali. It's happening across every hospital almost every day. We're under extraordinary pressure. I've never seen the health system under the pressure it's under at the moment. And so we're having longer delays at hospital than we've ever had before. And our capacity to respond and our performance has never been challenged as much as it has been over recent weeks, and obviously will continue to be. And if the growth in COVID cases continues, performance will be expected to get poorer unless we can do something about reducing the number of people coming into hospital. So it's incredibly important at the moment that if people are not seriously unwell, that they don't call ambulance, that they don't go to an emergency department. People have noticed our Save 000 for Emergencies campaign, so GPs, pharmacists, nurse on call should be first port on call for those that are not seriously unwell.
And we'll talk to the 000 service in just a minute, but is this entirely COVID-related? I mean, what's the connection? Because people look at the numbers, 375 in hospital, 81 in ICU. It doesn't seem absolutely massive. So what's the connection between COVID cases, hospital ramping?
Yeah, so COVID cases slow the system down markedly, Ali. That's the major issue. In terms of the patients that are in hospital, there are many more patients assessed in the emergency departments and transported by ambulance. So ambulance alone at the moment is transporting about 150 COVID-positive patients a day. They take an extraordinarily long time to process in the emergency departments. And so they make a significant contribution to slowing the system down. But the load in the system is heavy anyway. We're seeing heavy workload that looks sort of similar to pre-COVID workload. And we had been advantaged during the COVID period by much reduced workload during lockdowns. The lockdown is no longer having an impact on reducing workload. Workload is very, very high anyway.
Could this not have been foreseen? Because going right back to last March, from the very early stages, when I say last March, March 2020, from the early stages of COVID, we were told don't rock up to your GP if you've got symptoms. Could we not see that there was going to be a massive impact on hospitals and on ambulances?
Yeah, I think the impact was foreseen, Ali, and there's been an enormous amount of preparation going right across the health services. So ambulance and the hospitals have been preparing for this. Nonetheless, all the preparation that we've done has not been adequate yet to slow the flow of COVID patients into hospital and to improve the flow through hospitals. There are many things yet to be done in terms of improving our response, and we will over coming weeks change our response model in ambulance so that we cope better with demand.
But nonetheless, how do you do that? What does that change look like?
Yeah, there are a number of things we'll do. We'll employ paramedic students to drive for us. We've got arrangements with St John Ambulance and the SES already where they will provide drivers for us. So we'll split our ambulance crews to increase the number of paramedics in the field, or increase the number of paramedic resources in the field, the number of ambulances. We'll also take over caring for patients in queues at hospitals with student paramedics. We've got other arrangements being made at the moment with the likes of Life Saving Victoria and Shebra Hatzola, and there are other agencies also that we're engaging with to respond on our behalf. We'll also move to send less emergency ambulances to patients and hear more patients through our secondary referral service. So people might find, whereas they might have normally expected an ambulance response, we'll be asking them to find their own way to hospital or their own way to care. So that will increasingly happen over the coming weeks. We expect the demand on the system to grow significantly, and we'll have to have other things in place to keep people away from emergency response ambulances and also for us to respond in a different way.
So is part of that finding other people to look after the patient once you've stabilised them and they've got to hospital so that the actual ambulance can leave with the paramedics on board?
That's correct, Ali. At the moment, we're working to implant our ambulance community officers and our CERT responders. So they're our first responders that normally work in rural areas and out of Melbourne, and also paramedic students who are just graduating. We'll progressively be inserting them into the queues at emergency departments so that we can turn ambulances around more quickly and get back out to those people who are indeed critically ill and need our care urgently.
Because you can only move as fast as the hospital moves, can't you?
Yeah, that's correct, Ali. And as I said, right at the moment, the system's under more pressure than it's ever been under, and hospital times, so transfer times for us, the time taken to get a patient off a stretcher has never been higher than it is now. So the hospitals are under enormous pressure. They're working extraordinarily hard with us, but nonetheless, it's not enough at the moment to see us deliver the service we normally would.
Can I just clarify with you? You did say you're transporting 150 COVID cases a day. Is that correct? Is that what you said?
Yes, Ellie, that's correct.
So how does that tally with the fact that we only have 375 in hospital?
So many will be seen in the emergency departments and turned around and sent home.
So they probably never needed to go to hospital in the first place?
That's correct, Ellie. As I go back to the start of the conversation where I said it's absolutely fundamental that you only go to hospital or call an ambulance if you need to. So many people are calling ambulance with COVID who are anxious, who might have mild symptoms, who are calling ambulance and wanting to go to hospital to be seen. They need to be seen by and large by other means. So it is a significant problem. Many are being turned around at hospital almost immediately and being sent home.
Well, look, we wish you all the best, and we hope very much that we can get some of these changes in place fast, because as you say, it's going to, is this correct? It will get worse before it gets better.
We expect it to get much worse, Ellie. That's the reality. So it's absolutely fundamental that people seek other care if they can.
Associate Professor Mick Stevenson, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Ellie.
Mick Stevenson there, the Executive Director of Clinical Operations at Ambulance Victoria.